You are 40 minutes into a cross country. The weather briefing said 3,000 scattered, visibility better than 10, and for the first half of the flight it was, but now the sky is filling in. The scattered layer became broken 5 minutes ago. Now it looks solid ahead. You are at 3,500 feet and the cloud bases are pushing you down. You just descended to 2,800, then 2,500. I'm pattern on traffic pattern. And this is the flight that kills more VFR pilots than any other scenario in general aviation. I want to walk through this one together because it is not about knowing the right answer. Every student pilot I have ever taught knows the right answer. Turn around. Go back to where the weather was good. The problem is never knowledge. The problem is the 60 things happening in your brain that convince you to keep going. Shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. First, solo private pilot, instrument rating. They have got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. aviationsoul.com. So, let us set the scene properly. You are a private pilot. Maybe 120 hours total time. You are flying from your home airport in Central Virginia to visit family in North Carolina. The route is about 200 nautical miles. You planned it well. You got a standard briefing from flight service. The TAF at your destination called for ceilings at 3,000 broken with good visibility all day. There was an Airmed Sierra out for mountain obscuration to the west. But you told yourself that is west, not on your route. Here's what happened. A warm front that was forecast to stay south crept north faster than the models predicted. It is not unusual. Weather does this. The question is not whether the forecast will be wrong. The question is what you do when you discover it is wrong. You're at 2,500 feet now. The ground beneath you is about 800 feet above sea level, so you have maybe 1,700 feet of actual altitude above the terrain. The ceiling is somewhere around 2,000 feet above the ground, which means you have about 300 feet between you and the clouds. You are legal. Barely federal aviation regulation. 91.155 says you need 500 feet below clouds in controlled airspace and 1,000 feet below in class echo above 1,200 feet above the surface. You are skirting the edges of legal, and legal is not the same as safe. Here is something I wish someone told me when I was training. The regulations are a floor, not a target. The moment you're calculating whether you're still legal, you have already made several bad decisions. Let me tell you what is happening in your head right now because it happens to every pilot. Every single one. First, there is continuation bias. You have been flying for 40 minutes, you're past the halfway point. Your family is expecting you. The airport is only 60 miles ahead. Your brain is telling you the destination is closer than the starting point, so pressing on makes sense. It feels logical. It is not. Second, there is the sunk cost. You paid for the fuel. You did the pre-flight. You filed the flight plan. You're already here. Turning around feels like giving up, like failure. Like wasted effort, your brain hates waste more than it fears danger. Third, and this is the sneaky one, there is gradual normalization. The weather did not go from perfect to terrible in one moment, it degraded slowly. Each small descent felt reasonable, going from 3,500 to 2,800 was no big deal. 2,800 to 2,500 was just a little more, 2,500 to 2,200 will feel like just a little more too, and then 2,000. And then you're scud running at 1,500 feet over unfamiliar terrain with a 200-foot gap between you and the clouds and nowhere left to go but into them. The National Transportation Safety Board, the NTSB, has a name for what happens next. They call it VFR flight into instrument meteorological conditions. It is the leading cause of fatal weather-related accidents in general aviation. Not turbulence, not thunderstorms, not icing. Pilots flying into clouds they cannot see through and losing control of the airplane within 90 seconds because they were never trained to fly on instruments under stress. So, let us rewind. You are at 2,500 feet. The ceiling is compressing. What do you actually do? Decision 1. Acknowledge the weather is worse than forecast. Say it out loud. I am not kidding about this. There is research on this. Verbalizing a problem breaks the spell of denial. Say it into the cockpit. The weather is worse than I expected. That sentence changes your brain from hoping to planning. Decision 2. Look behind you. Right now, not in 5 minutes. What did the weather look like where you just came from? If it was better behind you, that is your escape route. But that escape route has an expiration date. Every minute you fly forward is a minute the weather behind you might be closing too. A warm front does not care about your flight plan. Decision 3. Make a decision with a deadline. This is the one that separates the pilots who land safely from the ones who end up in the NTSB database. Set a hard limit. If the ceiling drops below 2,000 feet above the ground or the visibility drops below 5 miles, I'm turning around, not thinking about turning around. Turning around. And here's the critical part. You set this limit now, while you're still calm and still have options. You do not wait until you're at 1,500 feet and stressed and disoriented and trying to make a decision with an adrenaline-soaked brain. The Airman Certification Standards for the Private Pilot Certificate include a whole section on risk management and aeronautical decision-making. The examiner is looking for evidence that you can recognize hazards and manage risk before it becomes an emergency. This scenario right here is exactly what that section is about. Decision 4. Use your resources. You have a radio. Talk to someone. Call flight service on 122.2 and ask for an updated weather observation. Call approach control if you're near a terminal area. Ask for a pilot report. Somebody flew through this area recently and their experience is more valuable than any forecast. You might hear that the weather opens up 20 miles ahead, or you might hear that it is worse. Either way, you just turned a guess into information. Now let me walk you through what a good 180 actually looks like, because it is not just yanking the airplane around. You are in a low-ceiling environment, you're probably stressed. You need a standard rate turn, which at most training speeds is about 15 to 18 degrees of bank. Not steep, controlled. You maintain altitude. You watch for terrain if you're near rising ground. You roll out on approximately the reciprocal of your heading. It does not need to be exact. You need to be going back the way you came, not flying a precision maneuver. The reason I say approximately is that pilots waste time trying to calculate the exact reciprocal heading. If you were flying 180, turn to 360. If you were flying 210, turn to roughly 030, close enough. The goal is reversing direction, not impressing anyone with math. Once you're heading back toward better weather, you have bought yourself time. Time to plan. Time to find an alternate airport. Time to call for help if you need it. Time is the one resource you cannot get back once you have spent it. Here's where I want to talk about something uncomfortable. The reason most pilots do not turn around is not because they do not know how. It is because they are embarrassed. They do not want to call their family and say, "I could not make it." They do not want to tell their flying buddies they turned back because of weather. They do not want to feel like they failed. I need you to hear this clearly. Turning around is not failure. Turning around is the most professional decision a pilot can make. Every airline captain in the world has diverted. Every military pilot has aborted a mission. The most experienced pilots on the planet turn around when the situation demands it. The ones who press on and die are not brave. They are in the NTSB accident reports. There is a concept the FAA teaches in their risk management training called the PAVE checklist. Pilot, aircraft, environment, external pressures. In our scenario, the environment changed, the weather degraded. But what really got you was the external pressure, the family waiting, the schedule. The feeling that you should be able to handle this because you are a pilot and pilots fly airplanes. External pressure is the silent killer in aviation. It does not show up on any gauge. There is no warning light for it. You have to recognize it inside your own head. And that is the hardest instrument scan there is. Let me give you a practical framework you can use on every single cross-country flight. Before you take off, set 3 personal minimums: ceiling, visibility, and crosswind. Write them on your kneeboard. Make them more conservative than the legal minimums. If you're a 100-hour private pilot, maybe your ceiling minimum is 3,000 feet, your visibility minimum is 5 miles, and your crosswind limit is 10 knots. These are not the FAA's numbers. These are your numbers based on your experience and your comfort level. Now here is the important part. When any one of those numbers is violated during the flight, you do not negotiate with yourself. You execute your plan. The plan was already made on the ground when you were calm and thinking clearly. All you have to do in the air is follow it. The best pilots I have ever flown with, the ones with 10,000 hours and gray hair, they all say the same thing. The most dangerous pilot is the one with 200 hours who has never been scared, because that pilot has not yet learned where the edges are. The second most dangerous pilot is the one who has been scared but convinced themselves it was a one-time thing. The safest pilot is the one who got scared, learned from it, and built systems to make sure it never happens again. Let me close the scenario. You're at 2,500 feet. You see, the ceiling is still dropping. You said out loud that the weather is worse than forecast. You checked behind you and the sky looked better to the north. You set your limit at 2,000 feet above the ground. The altimeter is showing 2,200, and the terrain below you is at 800. That is 1,400 feet above the ground. Your limit is already broken. You roll into a standard rate left turn, 15 degrees of bank, you hold altitude, 30 seconds later you are heading north. 2 minutes later, the ceiling starts to lift. 5 minutes later, you can see blue sky. You find an airport 20 miles back along your route, land, tie down, and call your family. You tell them the weather went bad and you will try again tomorrow. And tomorrow you wake up and you still have an airplane and you still have a life. That is the decision. That is all of it. I pulled the accident data from the NTSB and the FAA's Risk Management Handbook for this one. If you want to go deeper, the FAA Risk Management Handbook, Advisory Circular 60-22, is free and it is one of the best things the FAA has ever published. You can find more at radiohanger.com. I am Pattern. Make the turn. See you next time.